sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Start to bed. Don't forget I love you.
With DJ Queen and
D-Fantastic.
You know what? That was slightly more normal than usual.
Honestly, like, I'm surprised by that. I normally don't draw it out like your bitch ass.
No, okay. You do it.
No, you always.
You be going through it. You take me through there.
Okay, anyways,
so welcome to the show. If you have never listened to the show, if you're happening upon the show, If you are out in the streets of the mission and you would like to come to a show,
hell yeah.
We are Black on Black on Black. This show is about a Bay Area native, which is me, yeah, and a transfer from the South. Explore the real San Francisco. Finding ways, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists and people who make it all happen. Hey,
thanks.
Look at that.
I think
that's our best take yet.
I just want to be clear to my audience that normally I get a little shout out from being in the South.
I did. I said a transfer from the South.
No, from the
South. Is that not you?
Okay. You know,
we are in the Bay Area.
Okay, but I wanted a little bit of like, no, I'm talking about, you know.
You can add that in as we go.
Okay, all right. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We also have a very special guest. So obviously this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. We talked about this in our last episode. We only did good news because, my God, this is a tragedy out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to continue diving down into mental health awareness and, like, you know, just getting into that sort of stuff because it's very important for us to remain grounded and just remain kind of aligned in with people. So we have a very special guest. For those who are tuning in, we have Joel, almost, my God.
Get it together over here.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Get it together.
Guys, you know, I'm doing my best. It is hot as fuck in this studio.
It is really hot.
I am sweating.
You are from Texas.
Right.
Yeah. How do you want me to shout out from the South and you ain't acting like you from the South?
Well, that's Do you see the spit I have on right now?
Yeah.
It is a hot,
Dr. hunting you.
Oh, my God. Anyways, Joelle, thank you so much for being here. He is, if you do not know, a personal trainer. He has coached for baseball before. And he's honestly one of the most genuine people you could ever meet. So in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, he's joining us for a very vulnerable conversation about identity, healing, and learning how to fully live as himself. Having navigated many difficulties through his childhood into his young adulthood, we're so excited to have him on as he reflects on the difficult journey that brought him to this point of living authentically as himself. A journey which includes diving deep into being truly mentally healthy. Joelle, would you like to say hi? And then Desmond, I love you so much. That fan is fucking my mic.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, my God, I took it off.
Like, that is raw, unlubed, fucking my shit, you know?
You know, and this is because you complained how hot it was. So thank you.
I agree. Thank you so much, Desmond. Also, Desmond's my bestie who's here. So thank you for visiting from Texas, Desmond. Okay, anyway, Joelle, would you like to say hi to our audience?
Hi, I'm Joelle. Thank you for having me today. I'm happy to be here with all these wonderful people. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the events to highlight as we often do.
Yeah. So before jumping in, just to highlight some events going on locally, everything here almost is in the Mission exclusively, except for maybe the last
almost thing. Here.
You know what? Back your bitch ass up.
Okay. The first thing to highlight
is Kazabe is going to be playing at Rocco Poco. Rocco Poco, for those who don't know, super, super local music venue, very much very Latin American music, all of the different branches of type, because there's a wealth of music across the Americas, because the Americas is not just the USA. We need to rebrand that, figure out it, but like the Americas encompass a lot of different things outside of this fucked up country. What? And so Rocco Poco is on 3140.
Very patriotic here.
Mm-hmm. every day.
Every day, all day.
Hey, because my right to speak out is my patriotism.
Of course.
So Rocco Poco is at 3140 Mission Street. This show is going to be on May 22nd. It starts at 9 p.m. For those who don't know, Kazabe, you're like, what is that? It's Punta music, which is an Afro-Indigenous dance and cultural music of the Belizean, Guatemalan, Honduran, Nicaraguan, Garifuna people, originating from the Caribbean island of St. Vincent and Grenadines. It's a lot of very fast footwork and a lot of very fast hip work at the same time.
Oh, God.
It's fun.
You're trying to get me to go to this on Friday. No!
It's a vibe, babes. It's a vibe.
The only time I dance is when?
Let me tell you, it is a... When I tell you,
I'm sure it's a vibe. I'm sure it's a vibe. And I'm sure there will be all sorts of, like, attractive people there.
There's
going to
be so many attractive people there.
And I love that.
When I tell you this band...
This attractive person may not need to be there.
No, you need to go. But I love this band because, like, sometimes at Rocco Poco, I find that there are bands that show up, but I don't see enough Afro representation.
Sure.
This is a very Afro band. They bring out dancers. The dancers are like a beautiful, darker complexion black women. Like, it is a vibe in there that night. And so, this might be the part where I lose you. I'm going to talk about pricing.
Continue.
Because I'm not just going to.
Yeah, so, nigga, I see it right now. I'm wearing the same shit, my guy. I'm looking at that shit. No, go ahead, say it, please.
How much did you pay for your pants? Just yesterday. All right, then. So, thank you. Moving on. So, for general admission, it is $61. For VIP, it's $80. Let me tell you right now, don't do the VIP.
Why?
You're not the only person I'm talking to right now. I know you. All right, then, shut your bitch ass up. So, for VIP, what it is that you get put into the front, and all that's separating you is like a rope. You get no bottle service with that. There's no chairs, no seats, because this is punta music. They don't want you to sit down. If you want to sit down, take your ass home. So, unless you going to be up there dancing and giving a show for everyone else that's not in VIP, get you a general admission ticket, because it's still pretty close to the stage. You're going to have a great view. And if you've never been to Rocco Poco, it is an experience there.
Right.
So, next event I wanted to
Honestly, It looks fun. It looks for people. People who want this, fun. People who want to go this. I'm just shitting on it just because I like to fuck with Queen.
Please,
but like, I honestly, this is appeals to you. It looks like a really great time.
Oh, it's like the best time.
Right.
It is super local. Yeah. So when I say super local, for those who are familiar with the Mission District, which is the largest Latino. It is the Latino cultural district. If your Spanish is not the best, bring a friend who maybe speaks Spanish. But at the same time, they're going to figure it out. Because if you got money to spend, they're going to take it. They don't care what language you speak in. Right. But it's going to be a good time. Like, I'm definitely go.
No, I hope people show up. But you guys should go.
You should go. So, the next thing I want to highlight is Mango is happening this Saturday, May 23rd from 2 to 8 p.m. It's a day party for women and their friends. This is a queer femme event. Here in the Mission at El Rio, which is one of my favorite queer venues.
Right.
For those who don't know, like, the Mission District also hosts some of the best POC queer spaces that also happen to be very femme-focused. It's a very well-known thing for those who need to know and want to know. So I definitely would say Mango is the queer femme party that happens in San Francisco. Go. If you are queer questioning, if you are heteroflexible, and you identify as a queer femme, get your ass to this event. So enjoy. There's always free food. They advertise this as the strongest drinks because they're a queer club, the warmest vibe, and 5 hours of nonstop booty shaking every time. Featuring music by Edage, Olga T, and The Junior, all incredible DJs.
Yeah.
It's $15 at the door, 21 plus. You can buy your tickets in advance. If you are going to come and buy your ticket at the door, babes, get there at 1.
Right. It's probably going to be packed.
Get there at 1.
I've never been to Mango. I have no intention on going, but like, you guys, you should definitely check it out.
Get there at 1. Bring you some drinks to have in the line.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely worth it. In the back is a beautiful outdoor sort of dance floor where the main event happens.
El Rio is amazing, and I know that Mango's a good time. You talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Again, I have never gone. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I imagine it's a lot of fun. And
And emphasis on a day party for women and their friends. So all my gay homies, all my gay boys who like to roll with their lesbian homegirls, go.
Right.
If you are a cis straight man, who is also straight.
If you're cis straight man.
Let me just emphasize that.
Emphasize on straight.
This is not your party. Respectfully.
Right.
This is not your party. This is like women cruising, and there's not a lot of cruising spots for queer femmes.
Yeah.
And so they do a really good job of like making this well known so women come, and there's a lot of queer femme cruising.
Yeah.
You will kill the vibe.
Yeah.
You will kill the vibe.
Right.
My trans men, you're welcome.
Of course.
Come through, babes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. Next event, the event to highlight.
Hey, yo.
Carnival SF is this Saturday and Sunday. Everyone get the fuck ready.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who do not know what Carnival SF is, it's a free two-day festival that starts at 11 a.m. and runs to 6 p.m. on both days and covers 17 blocks in the Mission District. It is one of the biggest events that is thrown in the city outside of Pride. Over that weekend, over 400,000 people will come to this event. It is huge.
Yeah.
There will be 5 main stages, 50 local performing artists, and 400 vendors. The festival includes international food, dancing, sampling sites, and entertainment for families, couples, and friends of all ethnic, social, and economic backgrounds. You will see people come from this who are coming from totally different countries that have actually spent a whole year creating their outfits. There will actually be a parade. On Sunday, there's always a parade. It boasts about 60 contingents, comparsas. Well, comparsas are actually groups that usually represent some corner of the Americas, and they're really coming to rep their people, rep their dance, rep their culture.
Yeah.
With over 5,500 artists representing the cultural heritage of Brazil, Mexico, Panama, Bolivia, Cuba, Peru, Puerto Rico, Nicaragua, Colombia, Trinidad and Tobago, Guatemala, El Salvador, and so much more. My favorites are always the Black Caribbeans because they show up out.
Let's go.
Other groups, they be having coordinated steps, coordinated samba. The Black Caribbeans just show up and they just dance.
They just dance. Yeah.
You see kids out there.
Yeah.
I love that.
Who do you think?
I love this. Yeah, and so it's televised by CBS. Mm-hmm. The Grand Parade covers 20 blocks in San Francisco Historic Latino Cultural District in the Mission. I will say, if you are really about it, if you really with the shits, I would try to get there at 9 a.m. because Carnival, for those who don't know, there's a carnival that happens all throughout the Americas. World. All throughout. The Americas specifically, yeah. Most countries are going to have a carnival. Yeah. I think what makes the one here in the Mission is they started with the parade. Always starts with lowriders.
Yeah, I love it so much.
It's a lowrider. You talking about bicycle? You talking about motorcycles? We talking about all different types of lowrider vehicles? Yeah. Like, it's because that is a very Americano sort of culture, and that's what really sets it apart to me. I've only been able to catch it one because 9 a.m. is early for your girl. I make it because it's important.
Do you remember that time that I convinced you to eat that wee brownie from Texas and we were out of our minds high and we saw all those lowriders in the Mission where we were eating ramen?
No. No, I did not.
That's one of my memories of us.
We're not talking about this.
No, we're not talking about it.
When you play the first segment of music. No, I don't remember.
Really?
Is this when I scooped the ramen off of the desk?
No, nigga.
That was a whole other...
No, because no one needs to know that. That's a bad story. I don't like to remember that.
Okay, nope. We don't have to remember that. Okay.
Please continue.
Sorry. Other shows to catch, just because we always like to shout out our homies. There will be musical acts both days, but we know two bands this year that are playing on the main stage on Sunday. So first up is Inti Musica. Absolutely.
Mystica.
My bad. Oh, my God. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m.
I'm fucking up today already.
1 p.m. to 2 p.m. They're going to be at the main stage. That's at 22nd Street and Harrison Street. And then La Gente SF is going to be at 5 p.m. And they're going to be amazing. They're closing the show. Please come. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. And then for our last event to highlight, Antifo Comedy Hour featuring Kai Kai, who just did
the building. That's crazy.
Hey. That's going to be on June 5th at 7:30 p.m. at Z Below. The Antifo Comedy Hour is the Bay's gleefully anti-fascist late night talk show, an anarchic celebration of our collective power, featuring sketches, characters, special guest interviews, and a live punk rock soundtrack from Oakland's OG Black Dyke Rockers, Skip the Needle, babe.
Just dope. Love that name.
Kai Kai B. Michaels of BASH Bash, aka Bay Area Superheroes, which is at Bay Area Superheroes, is a decentralized, independent, mutual, and aid network of... Network of costume vigilantes working towards a better, safer Bay Area for all. So please attend. We're already starting to give you events for June, so you got to be there.
The pride is happening, so if you don't show up, you're homophobic.
Oh my God.
I'm excited for y'all. Like, this is gonna be nigga, come on. So for those who don't know, or first tuning in for the very first time, there's a constant conversation about me and myself and I in regards to how I present and all that. And I mean, look, if you were to look at me, you wouldn't necessarily assume that I am straight.
If we took a picture of your outfit right now and put a poll up on Instagram that said, yo, rate me, is this studly or not? Waves, 99%.
One of the most 99% people you would ever
meet. And that 1% is going to be another stud that's also fighting their queer.
I like fashion. I like to sport different fashions. I like to lean into. I can be mass. I can be femme. Like whatever.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
all of that sounds like queer talk to me.
You can be straight, and you can be straight man wearing a skirt, my guy. I mean, it is what it is.
Yes.
Playing around with gender, playing around. Okay,
I'm not playing around with gender. I just like these clothes.
There's also a queer. There's a political queerness.
Okay,
but queerness also exists as a political philosophy.
Okay, great.
You lean into.
Well, then, yeah. Sign me up for that.
You've been on the list. What are you talking about? I'll pull up the contract you signed years ago.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. So, everyone, big update. I'm politically queer now.
Hey! we need like a queer button.
Right, right.
What would that even say?
It would be gay. Yeah. This is the beaches.
Oh, I sex on the beaches.
Hey,
what?
Yeah, there you go. And there you go.
What the f- why can't I, you know what? What
moving into our black dates.
Black dates, as we know, we like to update things that should be pertinent to the black community, both really hilarious shit and other like more important stuff. So let's talk about what, let's get into it. Honestly, this first black date is hilarious.
This one is great.
So Atlanta and Deadpool, god damn, dude. Atlanta
right,
and Deadpool
hot.
Actress Zazie Beetz says she doesn't take showers.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Zazie Beetz says she does not take showers. She says, and I quote, "I actually think Americans shower too much. I like a cat wash. I do my face, my armpits, my intimates," end quote.
So let's do a little bit of background about Zazie Beetz.
Yeah. Hold on.
So dive into it, please.
If we say because the name Zazie and a person isn't probably think Atlanta,
right.
The girlfriend in Atlanta.
Of what the fuck? Earl.
Yeah. The girlfriend of the main character.
Who is played by Childish Gambino / Donald Glover.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And she's been in many things.
Like you say, she's been in Deadpool.
She's been in Atlanta.
Was she the lucky one?
Huh?
The lucky character who didn't get hurt or anything?
Mm-mm. Yes.
She's the lucky one?
That's Deadpool. Domino and Deadpool. Yes.
I swear to God, I am dying today.
She's gorgeous. She's beautiful.
No, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
She's also European.
Hold on a second. Because she's one of my husband's like favorite crushes. He's also European.
Yeah.
That nigga showers every day.
My partner too. Loves it. Yeah.
Hey, that don't change anything. That's probably her white side right there.
Personally, if I found out Jack O'Connell washed like this, immediately I'm probably not gonna. Yeah.
And this is where I think like, so I have known the black diaspora to be ultra clean.
Yes. Showering sometimes twice a day.
Yes. Yeah. I do think some of that comes from like colonization in terms of stereotypes in which black people are seen as like unclean.
Right. So we're
combat that. I'm clean with that. That's a great stereotype.
I smell good and I'm clean. Yes.
Yeah.
I also know Europeans went through some nasty ass fucking places. Them niggas didn't take baths.
Dude, they are.
So there's also like that history I think that exists there that's just at odds.
I won't be completely nasty. I'm gonna wash my pussy.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. I honestly, the funk, like, is she not itchy, bro? Because I can't get into bed.
She does her face, armpits, and intimates.
My back. My ass.
I'm just wondering why this information was offered.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering why this information was offered.
I think, honestly, so for those who don't know, D-Fantastic, a.k.a. me, outside of this, my job is doing public relations. And you would be surprised the amount of shit that I have seen come out in interviews. I'm no, why are you talking about this? And I got to call the fucking reporter and be like, I'm so sorry. They didn't mean. Can we kind of strike that from the record? Like, nah. So this is exactly what that is.
She's been around for a long time, not to be media trained in this way, but also, she has something on her chest. Literally.
I mean, you're rich enough, you don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Tell me to bathe? Nah, yeah. Just lick yourself like a cat, I guess.
You don't even have a bathtub, so what are we talking about? But at least she does like wash things. I think the black community will forever be entertained from hearing celebrities tell us that they do not take baths and wash themselves.
Yeah.
I think we will forever it is a thing that we will forever foulness, be entertained about.
It is a foulness that I will never understand.
Now she says that she doesn't use a washcloth or anything. On top of that, then
we don't know. At this point, it don't matter if it's one washcloth to three pieces, my guy. It's still three pieces.
Okay, is she saying every day she like doesn't really shower, or like every blue moon, like, oh, it's okay to one day not shower?
Well, when she says she does not take showers.
Wait, okay, I need to see the statistics.
Here's a man fighting for his life. He's like, wait, but I'm attracted to her. I need to know.
Too much. I mean, she looks like cat wash. I do my face, my arms.
That's a whole bath.
I need to know.
That's a whole bath.
I need to know.
That's when you go from one nigga to the next. You got to make sure they don't smell no other niggas on you. Yeah. Like, hey, no, I'm good. I didn't meet with anybody
this
earlier
is
today.
Why
no,
we cannot
not
tell.
Wrong.
This is why you cannot tell us this information. This is why you can't tell. There's like historical context of the way we view these things. You cannot tell us this information.
Right. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I've been there. But whole bath.
No, I didn't have a gangbang earlier. Are you joking?
You stupid. All right.
Anyways.
RFK Jr.
Okay. RFK Jr. is going to war on antidepressants because that nigga has a worm in his head.
Yeah.
So antidepressants, as we know, are among the most commonly described medications in the U.S., right? So a study shows that 1 in 6 adults are taking them, so around like 45 million people. And so long-term use is pretty common, right? I think initially you would kind of like take this to manage things while you're in therapy and go on. But right now people are, you know, a large analysis says that the median of duration is 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they also found that roughly a quarter of patients have been taking antidepressants for a decade or more. Mm-hmm. And so Gennard Santacora, who is a professor of psychiatry, says researchers are calling this clinical inertia. So when patients appear stable or at like a 3 or 6 month rank, basically doctors tend to automatically renew their prescriptions. So alternatives such as psychotherapy can be more expensive and time consuming. So instead of doing that, people are just automatically, you know, renewing your antidepressant prescriptions and then going on. So because of this, he says that there are some patients who are on medication longer than necessary while bypassing others who actually need it, right? So the goal of this for RFK Jr. is basically to desubscribe or stop that initial, like, you know, prescription process and stop that auto renewal process. And so there's no guidance on how they plan on transitioning that at all. And there's not a clear, like, direction from the FDA or any major medical groups on how to actually make that better. Right? So that's kind of what's happening right now. Yeah, it's weird. It's complex.
Why, instead of, like, desubscribing people for auto-renew, why don't we make it so that doctors have a mandatory check-in?
Yes.
Every once in a while? Because, like, I know when I, back in 2020, when everybody was going through a lot, I was on antidepressants, and it was very low dosage, like 20 milligrams, which a regular doctor, the one you see routinely, can prescribe you on. Anything more than that, you have to go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
He was a black male doctor. He was, like, the first doctor I went to actually took me seriously when I described to him what I was going through.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, we can start you on antidepressants, and what I want to do is in about 2 months, which is, like, you know, like, it takes about a month for it actually to acclimate within your brain. I want you to have another month to, like, adjust to what you're feeling. Let's have a check-in and see how these things are going. And we had a check-in, and it was great.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea of just stopping the auto-renewal process is going to result in, like, horrible ways that this is handled. People are just going to automatically be cut off from medication,
right?
And they may struggle with the ability to understand why that happened,
right?
Or even the ability to get in contact with a doctor and go through a whole bunch of different things. Meanwhile, stopping your medication can
extremely dangerous.
Has an incredible amount of impact on you. Why not just have mandatory check-ins,
right,
with doctors that, like, you know, people who are on this dosage have to do,
or make psychotherapy just easier to access? Yeah. Like, what? Like, you can do both.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's figure out, like, okay, if you're gonna cut them off at some point, and, you know, maybe hopefully that's not at the 6 or 3 month mark, but, like, okay, if you make it a year, like, make it easily accessible to get psychotherapy. But again, I mean, that nigga eats, like, raw bear meat, so I don't really know.
I don't care.
I hate him, but I mean, so I do want people to know that that is a conversation that's happening, especially because of Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, if you're on antidepressants or you're in a place where you're, like, trying to possibly be seeking them, like, keep your eye on that shit, man, because it will, I don't want you to end up in a place where you're trying to get help and you can't.
Yeah, talk to your doctors about it. Ask them if there's any protocol that they're instituting. Like, we are unfortunately at a time, which we've always been at a time, where we have to be self-advocates for ourselves.
Yeah.
That is our way our healthcare system works. So if you are in a place to do it, I definitely strongly encourage you. If you can find someone who can even help you advocate on your behalf, if there's someone in your family, someone that you're close to, that's like, hey, if you can just sit here with me and help me have these conversations and figure out talking points, like, it is unfortunately a time where we have to be really, really on it for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, that's shitty news. But the last piece of black updates, which we don't even have the full amount of time to get into this, which is fair.
Please.
I think we're going to have to at some point dive into this.
Please.
Drake's 3 albums.
No! I don't want to do it!
Rusty,
oh my God, this being sucked, overstimulated, dude. And overwhelmed.
I overstimulated, overwhelmed. I was like, hi, why is this happening to me? And nothing on my algorithm is anything but like, fuck, this is terrible. And I've listened to songs, this is terrible. And anyway, so if you don't know, over the weekend, Drake dropped 3 albums at once. One is called Habibti, other is Iceman, the other is Maid of Honor.
What does he think we're all doing?
All the Drake Glazers obviously had plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. They didn't listen to all them damn songs.
Some of them did. Some of them were just 24/7. Right. Yeah.
People who are into celebrities like have them in their mouth all the time.
Does your jaw not hurt, my guy? It is crazy. I think it's something like 43 songs. And they said that he dropped it like this, and it spells out him, so he is him. You know, I am at a level of exhaustion with this that I wish I could get out of.
But that's another week.
But anyways, just wanted to kind of give you just a little. I'm not even going to talk about Habibti because I just don't have the time. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, because then we have to address the title of it.
All of these titles are problematic. Yeah. So for Iceman, the cover is with him and the famous like Michael Jackson glove on, right?
She really embracing that predator. She leaning in right now.
By the way, and I think my brother brought this up a while ago, we're gonna have to talk on Michael Jackson at some point. It's gonna be like a 3-part series. But anyway, so let's skip forward. I know we got to do that.
So he has
a Michael Jackson glove on. But if y'all don't remember this shit, he was literally talking shit about Michael Jackson when he dissed him during his beef with Kendrick Lamar. So in the song Family Matters, this is the quote. It's oh shit, it's all making sense. Maybe I'm Prince and you're Mike. Michael's praying his features would change if people believe that he's actually white. I'm like, what type of diss is that?
He's the one that started it with saying that he comparing himself to Michael Jackson.
Of course.
Like, I don't know what's the switch up here.
I don't think anybody can compare, really. Select few, and he's definitely not one of them.
No, my God. It's bizarre in general.
Nothing about Kendrick Lamar ever gave I want to be white.
Right.
It was a horrible diss.
I'm like, what was that?
You can't drop a bar that said, like, yo, you rap like you're trying to get the slaves lit, and then all of a sudden say, like,
Drake said that, like, in the rap beef, he's like, he told Kendrick, like, yeah, you still rap like you're trying to get the slaves freed. I'm like, is that a bad thing?
What is that ever a bad thing?
Well, I'm so sorry. Like, are you trying to keep me in my chains? Oh, yes, I'm absolutely. Like, shut the fuck up, Drake.
Especially in a time where, like, slave shops absolutely, like, slavery absolutely exists.
Right. There's human trafficking that exists. So he wears this glove after making this weird statement in his rap beef with Kendrick 2 years ago. And then also the White House ended up, like, tweeting out a picture of the album cover, like, with the glove. And with the glove, they're holding, like, an iced out MAGA chain.
What?
Oh, it's incredible.
It is astounding. And then also, someone said, imagine living long enough to watch Young Money turn into old MAGA, which has fried me to death. Because Nicki Minaj, this is amazing. And Lil Wayne, the coonery is insane. Like, I couldn't get more coonery if I literally stripped naked and jumped into a trash can in the middle of the night in New York City. Like, this is outstanding. Honestly, it's interesting because in Iceman, he rehashes this old beef of 2 years. Him saying, fuck a big three anyway. There was too many chefs in the kitchen. It was a mess to begin with. Who fucking cares?
I mean, that's what someone says when they get their ass whooped.
I don't care.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. If he would just let it go.
Let it go.
If he would just let it go, stop mentioning it, just move on and go back to, like, the redundant and, like, not really, really that thoughtful pop hits he used to make, people would just be like, great, all right, here you go. Drop a track that actually gets the club hype and don't whine and bitch about it.
Right.
There ain't none that the hip-hop community, like, disrespect, like, hates more than a nigga that can't take an L.
Right.
Like, you cannot, you can't hold an L. Like, yo, we didn't all play played the dozens and got roasted and then had to shut up and then come back the next day and just it just wiped that from your mind.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, I get roasted every goddamn day of my life hanging out with my best friends.
Yep,
I mean, every day.
No, every ass boy.
Sorry.
You never do.
I don't know how to escape it. But there's some rumors that Drake releases 3 albums to basically start to get out of his deal with UMG. So basically, he's suing UMG, Universal Music Group, for defamation over his beef with Kendrick Lamar. And tried to deliver all these albums at the same time to get out of this deal.
Yeah.
These 3 albums add to the album requirements of his deal, which would be in the fraction of the usual time in an estimated $400 million deal, which he signed in 2022.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this could be it because there's a lot of trash on these albums. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but...
It's just that there's some trash you can just keep in the vault, you know? Like, he could have just released whatever.
I mean, and if you really want to enjoy, if you really are like, I really want to listen to probably one of the worst songs ever, check out Cheetah Print. It features Sexy Red. That was one of the songs that I listened to, and I was like, I don't think I'll ever get those moments back again for the rest of my life.
It's a Sexy Red feature. Supporter.
Yes. Exactly.
Wait, Sexy Red is too?
Sexy Red is too.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Where have you been?
But this is like also, to be fair, this is like deep black lore.
Okay.
This is true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
just like Nelly, Trump supporter.
Oh, well, I knew about that. I knew about Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, Snoopy did not have to do that, bro.
Sexy Red shenanigans. So, those are kind of our updates and our intro to the show. I obviously have to end the first part of our segment before we get into some music. Would you rather?
What are we doing here? I see what you have here, and I don't understand where we're going.
Okay, here we go. Ready? You ready? Okay.
And everyone in the audience, feel free to chime in.
Feel free to jump in. Okay. We're talking about men's mental health, okay?
Yeah.
Would you rather live in a world where every single time a man felt a negative emotion, a cancer cell was obliterated?
Oh, fuck.
Was obliterated?
Yes.
Oh, ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Any negative emotions that men feel, cancer cells, that one cancer cell is gone.
Okay.
Every time,
I thought it was you're gonna say
every
the
time
opposite.
A man has a negative thought, does that mean
negative emotions?
Oh, that shit's gone in 5 seconds. Less than 5 seconds, actually.
Well, this is
found the cure.
What if we're talking about a man who has no cancer cells?
No. This is just literally any man. It's like, oh, God, she didn't text me back. A random cancer cell is obliterated.
Yeah, just gone. Or what?
Or every single time a man has a positive, like, emotion, a very, very destitute family gets a lot of food rations.
I prefer that.
No. Check this out. Only maybe 2 families are getting fed.
We're going to cure cancer.
Well, let's do a handful.
Okay. Who wants the negative emotions and cancer to be gone, basically? Oh, okay. Wait, no, I wasn't voting. I'm just putting my hand up.
Okay.
Who wants the positive emotions?
4 or 5.
Okay. Ooh, 5. Okay. Who wants the positive emotions with the food rations for people in need?
Can't vote for both.
Okay, but check this out. In a perfect world, yes, the positive would be great. But in reality, there's way more negative shit.
Of course.
And I think we can get rid of cancer that way in like 0.5 seconds if we do it that way.
If the
negative thoughts means that cancer is pretty much gone.
For men.
Are we talking about for men or for in general?
Oh, for in general.
Yeah, in general.
For the world.
In the world.
Any cancer cell.
Yeah. In that case, yes, the negative. Because where we are right now, shit ton of negative thoughts from guys. So
here's also another thought. Our food that we eat oftentimes contributes to things like cancer. So if we could give people like actual good food.
And this is healthy food. Very healthy.
We could also attack cancer.
It'll essentially just appear in their living room and be like, yes. Got it.
We can also attack
But check this out. Maybe only 4 guys are going to make sure that families get fed.
Every day?
Nah. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but...
I know we talk about the menosphere. I actually do think there's a lot of men out there who are doing the work.
Okay, well, they need to speak up then.
They do need to speak up, and I think it's more popular to talk about bad news than it is to actually talk about men who are doing the work.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to hear that. But I think if we could turn it, if men could receive a positive branding.
No, yeah.
Like, why not step into that?
If that was the norm, then it would be a different answer for
sure. We got one of our audience.
Oh, my God. Come on. Go on.
Hi, hello, it's the fan guy from earlier. So, here's what I think. I think, you know, if... Because it's very easy to get negative thoughts, right? We wouldn't have the wellness industry if it was so easy to think of a positive thought. So, if we could just take all of our negative thoughts and cure cancer, then why not?
Yep.
But then aren't we promoting people to have negative thoughts?
No, because this just going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Right. No, it's just going to happen.
Nobody's telling you to think negative thoughts.
Only people in this room are us that will know, and that's that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we lived in a society that wouldn't incentivize some shit for their own personal gain.
I don't know if anyone's ever going to put together, oh yeah, a man saw a fat ass and now a cancer cell's gone. You know, I don't think anyone's ever going to, like, put that together.
I think I would assume
I am not a man.
I think food rations can feed two birds with one stone.
No, but we're thinking about what's the percentages of the guys having negative thoughts compared to guys having positive thoughts.
But cancer just kills cancer, doesn't kill anything else. At least with food rations, you can solve a lot of different things potentially.
You can solve scurvy.
Yeah.
You can solve a lot of probably dental issues because you're getting the right type of food.
I don't know why she threw out that
I want to be clear. This is what I'm talking about. Y'all niggas come from my head every day.
Is there anyone else in our audience who wants to argue for food rations? I really think that we should be arguing for food rations.
I'm personally torn. When I created this, I was very torn. Come on, Kai Kai.
Yeah.
Yo, Kai Kai's coming back. Let's go.
I have so many things to say.
Please, let's go.
But at the end of the day, I think that I am an optimistic nihilist, and I do believe that we are heading towards a better future.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the younger generations are starting to get things in ways that are making me very optimistic. So I do think that like things like toxic masculinity and stuff, like they're clearly being worked on, like actively in front of our faces. And I think that you're right that a lot of our food contributes to cancer. I think that a lot of our issues with cancer are because of things like plastic pollution, environmental pollution,
100%.
Environmental racism. Like, there are so many things that contribute to cancer that did not exist hundreds of years ago.
And if y'all don't know what food deserts are, look them up. Yeah. I studied them. It is a whole thing. So,
So I do think that, like, ultimately the food option is the better for me, because once you meet people's basic material needs, then they tend to be happier and have more positive thoughts.
So I think after checking on one thing that I did think about is if we are able to provide the food rations to families in need, that alone offers anti-capitalism, because these same families will not have to do the same sort of really painful, like, body deteriorating types of meat, like, jobs to do those things. So if we're able to provide food in that way, we might also be able to provide food for the revolution.
Yeah, I think
there is an opportunity for that too.
Yeah.
So okay, I think we're split 50-50 now with me being food rations.
Let's take another. And then we'll do another poll.
I think realistically, where we are right now, we would get a lot more done with the negative thoughts. But where we're working towards an incentive for the positive would be where we want to be. Mm-hmm. But if we can fucking cure cancer right now, based off these negative thoughts from these guys where we're at, that's a shoe-in right there.
I hear you.
But because, like, it's probably, like, 80-20 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where we want it to be fucking 70-30 opposite. But that's just not where we are. Hopefully, the more we talk about it, the more that it can be that. But where we are right now, it's not even nearly close.
I mean, I will say, and we'll dive into some more statistics in a minute, I think that there is a lot of struggle. But we are oversaturated with a lot of really shitty news and stuff. There are people who are actually doing a lot better. We just don't hear from them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you're getting a lot of algorithmic propaganda of, like, all these men that are just being absolutely horrible. And the men are just living their lives and existing and being good. Yeah. So I'm just like, as I think about this, the fact that if we could provide for, like, the people
people in need on a base level, the foundation of our organization in the U.S., like, there is an actual real tangibility of, like, you're not afraid of losing your job because you're going to have food, which means you may actually be able to join us as we are, like, we need to make serious changes in the U.S., you know?
If you can eat better, like, you have more energy in general.
To do stuff.
Also change for your brain. There's just a lot of various upsides to actually having access to food.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into that would you rather.
Thank you. That's a good question.
You didn't think you were going to have something. And look at you.
I think we all
always coming through. Do you want to take another poll?
Okay, we'll take another poll. Okay, are we, so cancer?
One, two, three, four.
Okay.
Okay. Is the question for, like, what we hope for or what's going on right now?
No, right now. But you have to make it, you have to make
then
a decision
the negative right now.
So negative, what's that, five?
We're still split.
We're still split.
All right.
Well, let's get into some music. We're actually going to play the first song, which is one of my favorites. You got some Skinner. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know I'm from Texas. Come on, now.
See, I told you, you're going to get the Texas in there somehow. It's fine.
Nigga.
Whatever.
Anyways, we're going to play Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Thank you. sing. Seduce a stranger. What's so wrong with being happy? Kudos to those who see through sickness, yeah. Over and over and over and over. She woke in the morning. She knew that her life had passed her.
Fantastic. And DJ Queen.
And
Joelle.
Yay!
In case you listen to the show for the first time, we are here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we are highlighting Mental Health Awareness Month. So one of the things that I wanted to get into are just like some statistics about what's happening with men and mental health, because that's kind of our focus of this episode. So here's some big statistics for the U.S. So men die by suicide about four times more often than women. even though women report more attempts, they just are and are more often diagnosed with depression. The actual, like, end-all be-all with it, you know, being the result of death is 4 times more often with men. About 60% of men who die by suicide have no known mental health diagnosis, so they have not received care, they have not been diagnosed with anything in particular, they just unfortunately felt like that was the way. So that could be due to underdiagnosis, not seeking care, many other things. In men, firearms are involved in over 50% of suicide deaths, contributing to a higher lethality among men. That's something that has been pretty prominent in regards to looking at suicide rates between men and women. So many firearms are involved with men, and typically with women, it's other types. It's alternative types of deaths, so cutting, pills, overdosing, that sort of stuff. There's a lot of theories behind why that is. We won't dive into that now, but there are theories behind kind of why that is. It's often why when we talk about the fight for stricter gun laws, one thing that people often fail to mention is that it's not just about harming others, it's about harming yourself, right? Suicide rates are highest among men who are over the age of 75. It's also a leading cause of death for men between 15 and 34. So that's kind of the spot for men, the younger age and then the older age. You know, and as I've seen, you know, men in my life who are getting older, I can see these patterns of, like, just not feeling like they're contributing to family, just the desire for hypermasculinity, not being able to meet those needs because of a changing body through aging, you know, and how that can be exacerbated. You know, my grandfather had a harder time as he aged, especially after his, you know, wife passed, and it's hard. It's hard, you know? So, worldwide, sorry.
I almost wanted to drop in a BTS thing there. I'm not going to do that.
Please don't.
Worldwide Handsome Jin, shout out.
And see, and this is why I clown you at all times.
WWH, baby. Sorry. They're playing in Stanford, by the way. All right, go ahead.
Please. Worldwide, around 513 niggas.
I'm so sorry. There's no place for this.
Focus.
I'm focused.
Worldwide, around 513 million men live with a mental disorder. Okay? Quote from this on the report that I got this from. Social connection, which likely differs by region, may be associated with lower rates of disorders, but there is no clear relationship between rates of mental disorders reported here and rates of loneliness, social isolation, and social disconnection reported by the WHO Commission on Social Connection. That kind of stuck with me on this, just how isolated I think a lot of men are. You know, we already know, no, this is just the U.S., but and this statistic is actually worldwide. We already know that a lot of men are going underdiagnosed and underreported on their own, like, mental health and the things that they're struggling with. And so it's interesting that social connection, you know, may be associated with lower rates of disorders.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have weird relationships with loneliness.
Yeah.
And I do think those relationships with loneliness can be the places in which, you know, things bloom, and not bloom in a positive way, but bloom in, like, a really negative way that causes you to spin out. I think there's a need to, like, pull people in. We are social creatures by nature.
Yeah.
I do think that bad things happen to our brains when we go without contact with people. I think there's plenty of studies that prove that.
Yeah.
So we are, like, social. So absolutely, isolation is going to have an effect on our mental health, our mental capacity, maybe even deeper than that, maybe even physically, for
sure. Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's